Hello, here we are a couple of days into the Westminster general election campaign. It makes me think of Willie Whitelaw, the Deputy Prime Minister under Maggie Thatcher. And way back in the 70s, he accused the Labour leader of going around the country whipping up apathy. And it's a bit like that in this general election, although there's a palpable sense of distaste and weariness with the Conservatives. That doesn't mean that people are fired up by much enthusiasm for the Labour Party. Certainly the left of the party isn't. That's partly because they've got a very banal leader, and the banality of their policies is plain to see. And okay, they haven't published their manifesto yet, but their strategy is really just slow but steady. They're way ahead in the polls, and they're going to be ultra cautious. So long as they do nothing stupid, they should win handsomely. And of course, people are casting their minds back to 27 years ago, when Tony Blair led Labour to a landslide. And he said in the months leading up the election, it felt like carrying a Ming vase over a wet marble floor. So you had to be oh so careful, because if you slipped up, it could smash to smithereens. So that's why they're just going to be very prudent and very risk averse. And Sunak, sorry, I put this wrong in the titles. I meant it the other way around. Sunak's chance has challenged Starmer to a TV debate, and Sir Keir Starmer has declined, which tactically is surely the only right decision to make, because Labour's way ahead, about 20 points according to most polls. And, barring any huge upset, Labour should win comfortably. So why on earth would they take this totally unnecessary risk? So Starmer's behaving like the incumbent is the challenger, especially if you're way behind the polls. You do this because if you're lucky and the debate goes really well for you, you might win. Okay, Conservatives are so far behind, that's not going to happen, but lose not so badly. But if it's a disaster for you, well, you're going to lose anyway. It can't make it that much worse. And so Starmer has surely been wise in declining to do so. So they very often do this challenger. So that's why he's the outsider, Rishi Sunak, and obviously Sir Keir is the hot favourite. So Labour is way ahead in the polls. But, you know, these polls, they always overrate Labour's popularity because, of course, they struggle with turnout, particularly younger people who vote for them, and their turnout is much poorer. It used to be the less educated and the lower income groups, but that's not really the case. Is actually more educated, but if you're a bit more educated, a bit more likely to vote Labour. That's possibly to do with age, because university attendance for people in their 20s is over 50%. University attendance for people in their 80s, that was down to like 3%, because there's just very few universities back in the days where these people left school in the 1950s. It's not that they're less intelligent. It could also be this sort of brainwashing effect of all these far left academics who are treating universities as Marxist madrasas and just force feeding people leftist propaganda. So there's a 360 degree left-wing propaganda at university and to some extent at schools. So they are incessantly bombarded with leftist memes. So unsurprisingly, people ingest some of these and they start to believe them. They've heard them repeated so much. So coming back to the election, that's why they just think they don't really want to be shown to be fiscally imprudent. So that you can't do anything saying commit to much spending, you're being cautious. That's why the two-child cap for child benefit, if you have a third or subsequent child, you're getting no child benefit. Now, even a woman as right-wing as Suella Braverman has said that needs a rethink. And so some figures on the left are saying, really, this is just reprehensible, it's morally indefensible. We shouldn't be putting children into child poverty just to burnish your right-wing credentials, the Labour Party, just to appeal to middle Britain. So you're not going to put up my tax by one farthing. And so Labour's promising to do very little. They're going to magically improve the NHS. They don't really have a plan. They're going to get loads of money because they're going to crack down on tax evasion. Well, you know, everybody says that. And they'll probably get a bit of money, but not as much as they're claiming that they will be. They just largely plucked a figure out of the air for how much money they can save that, because they said they're definitely not going to raise income taxes. I remember the pledge card in 1997, going to a talk by Lord Mandelson when he came to Eton. And he said, anyone remember those five pledges? Yes, to cut the time from charge to sentencing for young offenders, blah, blah, blah. And one of them was, no rises in taxes. He said, no rises in income taxes. You're damn right, Income was the operative word. You could raise value-added tax or inheritance tax or corporation tax or capital gains tax, just not income taxes. So I don't think they think they're not going to raise income taxes. Obviously, there's nothing to stop them breaking the election pledge. Let's face it, every party does that in government. You might have hundreds of pledges in your manifesto, but only political anagrams read them. I mean, I don't read them, and I've even campaigned for parties. So Labour had its grid mapped out ages ago on each day of the campaign, what they're going to be talking about, what the policy things are, lines to take. But they haven't worked out the venues because, of course, they didn't know quite the date of the election. So where they're going to be speaking to is they're in Wales for a bit. And Angela Rayner talking complete twaddle as usual, saying the Conservative Party was bad for Wales. Well, consider the Conservative Party has no power in Wales. That's not true, because most decisions regarding the Principality are taken in the Welsh Parliament. And obviously, there's the UK-wide issues, and obviously Wales is represented there. That's to do with foreign policy. I don't think how Conservative foreign policy has been particularly of disbenefit to Wales. Labour's actually supported, you know, arming Ukraine or anything like that. I mean, there might be Brexit, which Labour accepts, which Labour has promised that they will not touch. And you know, Starmer says he wouldn't even try to seek closer relations with the European Union. Of course, they could renege on all these. He's changed his mind on loads of things. So the Conservatives are saying, oh, well, he's such a flip-flopper. We really can't trust him. Don't believe a word he says. So Labour trying to prove they're so moderate that they occupy the centre ground. They're glad to be shot of Comrade Corbyn, no doubt. They'd probably like to kick out Diane Abbott if she stands as an independent, which I think she's going to do, but we shall see. The thing for Corbyn and Abbott to do is join the Workers' Party of Britain, which is led by George Galloway, or failing that, the Green Party. So another one of the left-wing extremist parties. So, yeah, I mean, Labour's morale has really been buoyed up because more big beasts of the Conservative Party announcing they are not going to seek re-election. Michael Gove, well, the Silthy Tove, ding dong, the wicked old witch is dead. There'll be champagne corks popping even within the Conservative Party to see the back of him, that slime ball. But it's partly rats off a sinking ship. So Labour saying no gloating, no complacency, but it's difficult for them to repress a growing sense of optimism. They got the wind in their sails. So they are buoyant. The generational moment has come. But yes, yeah, so they're going to win. I mean, John Curtis said 99% chance they'll win. I mean, the chance that they'll have a majority, I give them about, you know, over a 90% chance of that. There's about a 5% chance there'll be some sort of coalition or confidence supply arrangement. The chance of a Conservative majority, that's got to be under 1%. Conservatives even being the biggest single party, that's maybe another 1%. Okay, so that's what they're trying to do, just not take any risks, and that they will indeed win. Not talk about policy too much. Allow the Conservatives to foul their own nest. Labour don't need to say or do that much. The Tories will tear themselves apart. And obviously he's said some stupid things already, Sunak, so he's screwing up the campaign. So Labour, just to set out their pitch, just to be there, just to be available, wave the red flag and the voters will do the rest. But as I say, their biggest enemy is indifference, that Labour voters just won't turn out in sufficient numbers. There is a bit of a threat from the left, as I say, Labour voters going to the Green Party or the Workers' Party of Britain. Now, these parties are going to win maybe two seats, the Greens, the Workers' Party of Britain, probably none. They'd be lucky to hold that one they won at the by-election for George Galloway a couple of months ago. But in constituents where it's close, if several percentage points goes to one of these extreme left parties, that'll cost Labour, the Conservatives will be able to hang on, or indeed the Scottish National Party. So just prove that they are a government in waiting. They're worthy, they're respectful, they're trustworthy, and they're not going to screw anything up. So they're almost Conservative. They're really a Tory plan B, competence, strong and stable, to misappropriate a phrase from Theresa May, which the Conservative Party didn't go on. So keep hammering away, savaging the government's policy, saying, oh, you know, Tory chaos, that'll be their constant mantra. Although, I mean, in recent years, there has been quite a lot of continuity. Continuity is not in itself a good thing. Okay, Liz Truss, bad news. Get Liz Truss, surely that was the right decision, although it was a bad news for Labour, because for them, she was their greatest electoral asset. They can talk about all these policy failures, disappointments, lies, and so on. They can resort to demagoguery, which they're doing, spite, envy, hatred of Sunak just because he's financially successful, and that plays well with a lot of bigots, I'm afraid to say. It's a very despicable tactic, appealing to the lowest common denominator, but tapping into people's concerns, anxieties. about public services that are falling apart. The NHS is not good enough. And Labour doesn't really have a convincing plan how they're magically improve this in education and everything else. I say that they're out of touch and it's time to give the other lot a turn in government. And that's obviously going to go down, people. Time for a change, okay? I mean, it doesn't have to be a change just to the left. It could be a change to the right. The two parties have got far more in common than they would care to admit. So they'll keep hammering on about that. Building more homes. Now, that appeals to young people often who can't get on the housing ladder. Trouble is, what about environmentalists? They don't want the greenbelt built over. And what about homeowners? They don't want the value of their homes going down. A lot of this is impractical because the low-hanging fruit's been picked. The place they're going to put them, they're not that many jobs. So you have to put in transport links. Before these new towns are going to be built, there'll be at least several years. It'll be well into a second Labour term before that happens. But anyway, that's their strategy. So they'll make homes more affordable, nothing about more council homes, and they will improve public services without taxing people at another penny. They'll cancel the Rwanda plan, which is sure to make illegal immigration even worse than it already is. Record immigration, 750,000 this year. Who says Conservatives are anti-immigrant? But there's legal, all right, you can say that's fine, but illegal is not, even according to Labour. But what Labour's going to do is going to aggravate the problem. So they've got no answers to that, university tuition fees funding, they've got no answers. So they're just not going to go into the particulars because all the choices are unenviable. So they'll get into government and they can't be accused of promising things that they're unable to deliver because they're promising almost nothing. So things can only get better. Well, things can't get much worse. Is really what they're saying. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to me on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye-bye.